studying, Murphy?
Drugs, Murphy.
In a laboratory test, female animals treated with the active component in marijuana experienced a 44% death rate among their offspring.
They seem to be in a state identical to that curious 20th century earth disease called hard drug abuse.
I just want to shake some sense into you kids that are using drugs and beat about using. So remember, don't.
Montucky Skies.
Hey, welcome to Montucky Skies. I'm Biggs.
I'm Brennan.
And I'm Brent.
So Brent is here filling in for Zach, who is in Beantown right now. I think he watched a hockey game the other
day. He was watching a hockey game. It was the Boston Bruins and, it was the Washington Capitals.
Did they win?
I have no idea.
Me neither. Zach can let us know, I guess. So I go ahead.
I think the Bruins won, but I'm not sure. I was watching a little bit of the game.
We sat in Jester's last night watching, like, they had the NHL show on SportsCenter last night, and it's like an hour and a half long show. Zero coverage of that game, period.
No! That's going to the edit bay.
And I was like, no, kind of wanted, because Zach actually had some pretty good seats. I saw some pictures on Facebook. They were like eight rows back, just off of center ice. So
nice. I think that's about as close as people in our income bracket can get. Like, I was about eight seats back from an NBA game, and that was phenomenal because you can hear them like talking shit to each other. But honestly, you don't want to be much closer. Because if you are much closer, you might get an NBA player in your lap, and those fuckers are big.
Or get a Ron Artest elbow in the face.
Oh, well, you would if you were watching a European game, because Meta World Peace is not welcome in the NBA anymore.
He's actually not Meta World Peace. He's a Happy Panda or something.
Really?
Yeah, he changed his name to Happy Panda.
Really? Like, this is a legitimate thing?
Yeah, no, he's no longer Meta World Peace. He's like the Happy Panda or something like that.
Well, I'm happy for Meta Ron Artest Panda Peace. I don't know. Did I miss a word there? Happy?
Close enough.
I'm happy for it. Yeah, I got it all. That was good. All right. I'm going to pat myself on the back there. Not literally. Just figuratively. Anyway, we got a couple of movies to review here, and then Brandon has an old man moment because he just turned 36. Should we hit the old man moment, and then I don't want to forget about this.
All right, old man moment. So for Christmas, the family got a Barnes & Noble Color Nook, basically just a tablet, and it's been kind of off. It's been sitting in my glove box of my truck for the last month. And so I got it out. I'm like, you know, I actually had some comics downloaded. I had, like, some X-Men comics loaded on there. I'm like, I wanted to read through this. So I pull it out, and I'm like, it gives me, like, this plug it in because it's obviously dead.
Right.
Plug it in, like, the flashing light goes green, orange, green, orange, green, orange, red. And it, like, has this, like, has this overheat symbol, like, has a thermometer with, like, steam coming off of it, like, with the, like, warning triangle around it, and then shuts down. Like, oh, fuck. This thing is hosed. So I, like, messing around with it, like, tried plugging it into a computer, USB port, like trying a bunch of different things. Google the problem, like, here, just do these 10 different steps, like hold down this button, stand on one leg sort of things.
Yeah.
They find on Google.
Can I guess? Was it an app?
No.
Okay.
I have no idea what the problem was. So I'm like, I'm just going to plug it into the wall and forget it for like 2 days. My oldest daughter, she's 12, picks it up, hits like two buttons, running perfectly. Like, come on.
That's right around that age. I remember my dad, I had two of those moments with him that really shamed him. The first was he got a computer. All right, there's the super great moment, there's the not so great moment for him, okay? He got a computer with my grandma. And they go, and it was in the DOS screen, because this is like probably like 92 that we got this, like late 92.
The one where it loads up in DOS and you gotta like...
Yep. Loads in DOS and it loads up and they're staring at it and they're trying all these passwords and I can't get it to type. And I go, it's win. Just type in win. And then I leave with Brandon. I think we went to like a Brewers game or something. And I come back and my dad's near crying and cannot figure it out. And he had like argued with me that it was Windows, so it wouldn't be win and all this. And I'm like, W-I-N, win. And like hit it and it like loaded up into Windows. And him and grandma were like so shamed. Now, where this isn't so bad was like my dad, that was the moment where he's like, screw this. And he started building computers. He took all these classes. Like he knows more about computers than I do for the most part. And that was because I shamed him in eighth grade. The not so great moment. Like, so shortly after that, he had his VCR and he was trying to set it up to time it and he couldn't do it. And he's really frustrated because he just bought this VCR. And I'm like, oh, here. And I like hit five buttons and had it going like on the timer and he could never figure that one out. So that was the not so great. And it's funny to me that he couldn't figure out the VCR, but he totally figured out the computer, which is infinitely more complicated than a VCR. And eventually got the timer thing down, but I don't think he ever really got it down with that VCR per se. So that was his old man moment. I haven't had that one yet. I still am the master of my devices with the kids. But that's because the kids split time with their dad. And, like, I'm their stepdad.
Yeah.
Serena's not old enough to school me on a device yet. Mm-hmm. She'll probably be the one who schools me. You know what I mean? When she's 12, I'm going to be, like, 43. And that's when the confusion starts, I think. That's when I'm going to get shamed. But have you had any kind of moment like that? Any random kid who schooled you on something yet, Brent?
Not really.
Xavier school you on Xbox?
No, not at all. Like, completely opposite. Like, he, like, older technology. So, we dug my PS2 out of the storage. And PS2 is older than the kid is, right? So, And he's like, yeah, awesome. I want to plug it into the TV. And I was like, well, you have to have an older TV because it's red, white, yellow, right?
Oh, like, you didn't know that it has an HDMI connection?
Well, I don't have a plug-in for it. I just had a
some of regular them do.
And he sat there and like looked at it. He's like, I don't know. I just can't do it. I'm just like, why not? You know, like it's just three cords. It goes in the thing.
They're even color coded.
Yeah, they're color coded. Like, there's no guessing here. I mean, no idea.
No,
yeah.
I mean like actually playing games.
No, I mean, I'm still way better. Although, like, it's different because I grew up playing PC games. So I look at him and he's like, I can't use a keyboard and mouse to save my life. And I don't know.
Yeah, some kids don't have that computer connection. The three of us definitely grew up with computers in front of us. I think it's safe. Well, I don't know about Brandon. I know it's safe to say you and I have probably a computer in every class, like from kindergarten, right?
Yeah.
How about you, Brandon? Was that the case?
It wasn't.
You're better at computers than I am. Let me just put that on Front Street. But
you know what it was when I was first in school, like up through middle, even into high school, there was like there weren't computers. Like there was the computer lab.
Yeah, I guess.
Where there was a bunch of old Mac 84s.
But I guess what I mean is, like, you have access to computers in school.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I did from the time I was in kindergarten. Like, I'm definitely one of the first years to be able to complain or to be able to say that, you know? It was in the 80s
when
Apple started to, like, do
basically just give schools gobs of computers.
Yeah. And so I remember we used to play Jumpman Jr. We played a DuckTales game, which was not so much DuckTales as Donald Duck, but it was called DuckTales. But it just had Donald Duck, and then I think it had one mini game with like Huey, Dewey, and Louie. That was how they tied it in as DuckTales, but they used Donald Duck, and I was like, even when I was a kid, I was like, what? It's DuckTales,
dude. I remember going into the computer lab in middle school, and they had Mr. Edlin was the head of the computer lab there.
Yeah.
And he had you'd go in like once a week, and he would like teach you on the newest game that was out. Like, he would like go in depth, like, here's how you go through this, and like give us a whole breakdown of how to play Oregon Trail.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I grew up with like Oregon Trail. We had, oh God, what did we
there was
have?
Another
we
one?
Had like this lemonade game where you had like a lemonade stand.
And you had, math.
Yeah, totally. We had gorillas. I know we played a lot of gorillas, which was fun. You like have two gorillas and it randomly selects like buildings and you try and hit the other gorilla with a banana and you have to figure out the velocity and the, I don't know, like the height or something of like where to throw the banana. And so sometimes you had to cut through buildings to get to the other gorilla. And that was great until Scorched Earth came out. And then, like, never played Gorillas again.
No.
Because I know the three of us logged a lot of time playing Scorched Earth. Basically played tanks and you got different weapons to blow up everybody with.
You had to shoot trajectories to, like, hit them in the right spot.
Yeah.
You had to, like, call, like, no napalm, though, because...
Well, yeah, you just like you're like you start out in the valley and like, oh, they're gonna fill me with napalm and I'm done.
Yeah. Yeah, you would get that thing, you'd be like, fuck.
No napalm, no nukes.
Do you remember when Warcraft 2 came out? Alright, yeah. Here's the thing. This is not World of Warcraft. Let me just put that out there for people who think I'm talking about that. I'm not. But when Warcraft 2 came out, so the thing of it was you could, like me and Brandon would play it all the time, and what we would do is, like, we'd be like, you want to play World of Warcraft? Yeah. And I'd run home, and I would pick Warcraft 2, sorry. I'd pick the setting where, like, my computer would receive, and your computer would call, and then we'd be playing and talking shit on the keyboard to each other, like, on Warcraft. And that was the shit at the time.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that was amazing. And our
direct modem LAN games were just unheard of.
Yeah, and that's so just not even cool anymore. Shit is so much better now.
But, you know, you wish that Warcraft 4 would come out, because Warcraft 3 has... It's been probably 12 years now since Warcraft 3 came out.
Yeah, I fell out. They had like like an expansion pack for World Warcraft 2. That was as far as I went. Like, you guys started
Tides
playing...
Tides of Darkness.
What was the futuristic one?
StarCraft.
Yeah. Once StarCraft came out, I was just, like, not interested.
Oh, you should see it nowadays. I mean, it's...
I'm sure.
StarCraft 2 is... I mean, I just read this thing where China and South Korea are both building huge multi-billion-dollar stadiums to house, like, StarCraft 2 esport tournaments. Which is weird because StarCraft 2 is not even the big game anymore. It's all League of Legends, but...
That's so crazy. I don't understand half the stuff Japan does.
Well, it's not it's another Japan. Culture, it's South Korea.
Oh, South Korea. I mean, I thought you said Japan.
No. South Korea, China.
South Korea, China.
Oh, okay.
That's
what Koreans, like, per person average, like, 8 to 12 hours a day per person.
We're probably talking South Korea, I'm guessing.
Yeah. North Korea doesn't have
not
computers.
The North Korea where they think they'll melt if they touch a keyboard.
Well, the unicorn's got to bless it first.
Okay, so should we get into some movie reviews here?
All right.
Okay, so let's start with Tusk just because Brandon already saw it. And I want to get... I went to Tusk. I convinced my wife.
Yeah, we did
the
review with like minimal spoilers on this, but we're gonna blow the lid off this room.
Yeah, so I'll put
we're going full walrus.
Yeah, we're going full walrus. So I'll put in the mark if you don't want it ruined for you. If you're waiting for, I don't know. I'm hoping to see it in the theater, but if it doesn't come,
it's already gone in here locally. So
oh, is it?
Yeah,
they hold
no,
it
it's still.
No, because it was Skeleton Twins and another movie.
They had that in addition to Tusk when I was there, though.
Well, I saw online last night because I was really looking for something to watch, and I almost went to Skeleton Twins, but I didn't.
Yeah, Zach said it's like an emo comedy.
It's got Bill Hader.
Yeah, and Kristen Wiig.
Yeah.
So I could see that.
Looks like 2 hours of Stefan. I was just like, no,
it's
thank
not.
You.
Zach assured me it's not Stefan because that was the first thing I asked. I don't like Stefan.
Man, I
like
I'm
Bill
the
Hader.
Only one
I don't like Stefan. Oh, you're on my side?
Yeah, I don't like Stefan.
Yeah, we just high-fived. You didn't hear that. You didn't hear that because it was the cool, like, high five where we didn't have to slap hands and be all bro-ish. Yeah, we knew it. We knew it. Anyway, then I ruined it by talking about it. But, so I went to Tusk. We're the first ones in the theater, and I was like, man, I think we might be the only ones seeing it.
That's kind of how I was when I was in, because me and my wife were there, and there was, like, one guy that looked like a Kevin Smith wannabe, had the hockey jersey on.
Big beard, glasses.
Yeah.
Yeah. My wife said there will be three people that walked in, and she was close. There was five that walked in, but the
so
first
you
the
had
first,
like eight people in the theater seven, altogether.
Yeah. There was seven. Yeah,
because I think there were four in the theater. No, there were five because there was one couple that walked in like just before the movie started playing.
But Zach told me it was hit or miss each night. Like, he said the nights that Carol didn't have stuff going on, there was, like, it would be a full theater. But then there was nights where it was just a couple of people. So we hit it on the unfortunate nights, I guess. But the first people to walk in was Brent and whoever your friend was.
Aaron Gilman, yeah.
Yeah. So we got to sit there. Brent was about, I don't know, 10 feet from me. Respectable distance.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird, like, etiquette, though, because I was, like, asked you, I was like, well, we could sit, you know, a couple rows
yeah,
away.
I was like, go ahead and sit there, dude. It's fine. But I enjoy... Okay, so here's the thing. In my mind's eye with Tusk, like, at first, when they were talking on the podcast, I was like, that would be hilarious. Like, thinking about, like, the way they're saying it, it's a really funny Smodcast when they're talking about it. It's an episode called The Walrus and the Carpenter, okay?
And it, you know...
They played a little bit in the credits, too.
At the end, they played a little bit of the credits, and it so reminded me of, like, our Iron Cross, and what was the other one we did?
Well, in that same episode, we had crossed out the documentary.
Right.
We fooled Kirk Cameron.
But we did another one with... One Last Job.
Oh, yeah, yeah. 1LB. Yeah. I'm not saying I took, like, it's not that we took inspiration from that. It's just, like, I think if you like movies, eventually you're going to go down that kind of road, you know? But, so it was really funny. And then when I realized it was actually happening, I started thinking about it. I was like, in my mind's eye, it was horrifying. Because now I'm thinking about the only thing I can compare it to, which is like the Human Centipede.
Right.
So in my head,
you had to have made that conclusion at some point.
Yeah, and it's not like that at all. Like, if anything, it's a dark comedy.
Yeah.
I mean, Dick, you see him as a walrus. It's hilarious. Like, it's the cheesiest looking rubber suit that's like flesh. Like, he doesn't.
Like, beyond like a guy in a rubber shit suit. Like,
but it's not far from the poop monster. No. And that's, to me, like, my wife was horrified. Like, she was absolutely
my
horrified.
My wife was exactly the same. Like, yeah. I could
couldn't get past feeling bad for the guy, but I was like. Dude, it's the fakest suit. And once, like, Michael Parks gets naked in another rubber walrus suit and fights him, how do you take it seriously? Yeah, to the song Tusk. How do you take this even remotely seriously? Like, because of that scene, I just, like, I just laugh for the rest of the thing. I mean, it was ridiculous. You don't really see the surgery. I mean, you see him after what Michael Parks does to him.
Yeah, like, it really wasn't a bloody movie.
No, not at all. I mean, you know what he does, but... And Johnny Depp, I thought was hilarious in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Like, almost unrecognizable. I knew he was in the movie. And then when I saw him on screen, it took me a minute or two to be sure that it was Johnny Depp. Because he really does kind of disappear into that character. Like, I was actually buying that character.
Oh, yeah. The Francophone Quebecian guy.
Yeah.
Just bizarre.
Didn't understand half the shit he said. I'm not sure you're supposed to.
Well, it was just franglais. Like, he would, you know, every other word was French, but it, like, you know, if you knew enough of it, it didn't really matter.
Yeah.
It wasn't so anything.
I have to ask Brent, because I know you took a lot of French in high school, and you even took some college French. Did you understand, like, was what he was saying in French actually, like, make sense in French?
Yeah, it's not garbledygook. I mean,
will say Johnny Depp does live in France, so I wouldn't doubt that he actually was pulling out actual words.
Yeah, no, it was, the thing that got me the most was when he was like, ferme la bouche, and then he just, like, hushed both of them. I just died laughing, because it's such bad French.
So you get a little window into what Johnny Depp's like.
Well, it was really believable, because I've known a lot of Quebecian guys, and that's how they are. Like, they're really kind of passive-aggressive, but they slip in and out of French and English, just like franglais the whole time. So, like, if you know French, you'll know, like, every other word they're saying. But if you don't, like, it's just incoherent babble, you know? Like, well,
and then when they show that scene where he's, like, he's sitting there. So, basically, it cuts into a flashback where he sees the Michael Parks character, who's a serial killer. And he's basically, like, special. Like, he's pretending like he's special.
Yeah.
And he's talking with the back and forth, and I didn't even know what to make of it at that moment. I'm like, what is going on? Are you just not as bad as that?
You got to do between your weenie?
It's craziness.
It made me really want to try poutine, like, for reals.
That made you want to try poutine?
Well, I've always debated. I was like, isn't it French fries with gravy or something? Like,
I just... Oh, you mean because he's eating it in the diner?
No, because he's talking about going to the Poutini Weenie.
Right,
so poutine,
that's right.
Like, some little restaurant that serves, and it's like a Canadian thing. It's like French fries with gravy and, like, cheese curds on top or something. It's just bizarre.
By the way, I've heard that that character that Johnny Depp plays is going to be in the next. So Kevin Smith is making a True North trilogy, I think is what he's calling it. Like, it's all Canada movies. So this is the first part. The second part is going to be called Yoga Hosers, which is the two girls in the convenience store, just played by Harley Quinn Smith, his daughter, and Johnny Depp's daughter. Are the characters in that one. And then the third part is called Moose Jaws, which Kevin Smith describes just as moose with jaws. Or jaws with a moose. So kind of interested in those, but I'm wondering how successful these are going to be.
Okay, was there a point when you were watching Mallrats or Dogma, any of those movies, where you thought, you know, that Johnny Depp was going to be part of the View Askew universe?
No, never.
Ever.
Never. But so I got a warning that Johnny Depp was in it because I heard Kevin Smith talking about that, which was kind of surprising to me just because he's done so much big movies. But then when you think back on it, it's like, you know, it kind of makes sense because I'm not going to say Ben Affleck because he started with Kevin Smith. He kind of cut his teeth with Kevin Smith, like, Chasing Amy was what showed the studio that he could be, like, a leading man, you know? And so he started, like, he got Armageddon and all this stuff because he showed he could be a leading man and Kevin Smith movies. But, like, Will Smith did a cameo and, like, was it Jersey Girl?
Jersey Girl.
Yeah.
So which is coming up on a future.
This week. Yeah. Couple days.
Box office battle.
Couple days. You'll see, yeah, Will Smith. Well, you won't see it. I mean,
no.
You hear it.
You but if you watch it for Jersey Girl, you'll
talk
see
about it. Yeah, but he's had a few, like, surprisingly big people. Alan Rickman, who I guess isn't, like, super A-list, but you wouldn't have never picked him,
like, super serious Smith dramatic movie. Actor.
Yeah, it makes sense when you realize he's in the
and serious
franchise.
Snake.
And John Goodman in Red State.
That's true, but once again, John Goodman, that way past his prime, John Goodman.
Red State is one of those movies, like, I don't know, it's kind of one of those things I don't really attribute to Kevin Smith almost.
Oh, I do.
Like, I see it, but it's not, like, if you say a Kevin Smith movie, I don't immediately think of Red State.
No, that is the movie he did that's the least like a Kevin Smith movie. There's not a lot of jokes in Red State, you know?
No.
And I think that's kind of what sets it apart. But a really interesting movie, too, though.
It's great, like, the finale of Red State is phenomenal.
Yeah, it feels kind of like a Coen Brothers movie to me, a little bit.
It's got a lot of gravitas to it, like, you know, it just spirals out.
I really love the Armageddon, like, or the rapture parable they have, like,
yeah,
with the rapture horn. I don't want to spoil that for somebody who hasn't seen it, but that's great. Yeah, the horn at the end. Moving on from that, so last night I got off of work and I rushed home and I said to my wife, as I have a few times, which is why I've seen a few movies that I never would have probably gone to otherwise. I was like, do you want to go to a movie? She's like, yeah, what's playing? The only thing that was playing was a movie called Annabelle. So I'm like, what the fuck is Annabelle? So we go to look it up, and there's a creepy doll, and then it says, a husband finds a perfect gift for his wife, but, and I'm like, we're in. Because it's clearly a horror, supernatural horror movie, and I'm in. So we drove over to the theater, we went and saw it. It's pretty good. What I didn't know is apparently it's a sequel or prequel, to The Conjuring, which I've never seen. So here's what I'll say. Stands alone pretty well. If you haven't seen The Conjuring, don't let it stop you from seeing Annabelle. It's
The Conjuring is one of those movies I've seen, but I couldn't tell you anything from this movie other than...
I was thinking
of A Haunting in Connecticut where the kid vomits in the air. It's the same movie.
It's like Ghost Hunters from... Well, both those movies came out like at the same time, like Ghost Hunters from the 70s, kind of biopic movies.
And I think the Ryan Reynolds Amity Horror came out in about the same time.
Okay, well, here's what I'll say about Annabelle. There are about five moments in it that in a horror movie, people always make a really dumb decision. Four out of five times, they don't make a dumb decision. So it makes it pretty watchable when the people you're, I guess, like rooting for or whatever aren't actively stupid. It makes a horror movie way better. Like there's, for example, at the very beginning of it, some traumatic shit happens that's like connected with the doll in some way. And so immediately the wife throws it out. She throws it out, dude. Okay. That never happens in a horror movie. You just throw out the doll. No, that never happens. Yeah, for some.
I'm gonna have to say, like, call one out here for you, Biggs. Here in Biggs Manor, there's a picture of kids, like Victorian age kids in like dress, like creepy pictures, and you still have that up.
I do. It's because I rent the place, and I've explained to Brian, I'm afraid to take it down. I'm afraid that the child in that picture will haunt us if we take it down, so I don't take it down.
But that is a creepy...
More on that in a little bit.
Did you ever see that movie with Ethan Hawke? Where like,
yes, Sinister.
Yeah.
It's fucking good.
It is good.
Yeah. The sequel like that is hot garbage, but the first one's really good. So I throw the doll out right away, right? Then more traumatic shit happens. The house catches on fire and stuff. So what do you do at this point? She goes, I want to move out of the house. They fucking move out of the house. Once again, something you don't see in a horror movie. You stay in the horror house no matter what, for whatever reason. They move out. Like, and then the doll follows them, so they don't really have a choice. But that's the thing. Like, they make actual smart decisions throughout the thing. Now, they do make one dumb decision when she opens a box and sees a doll again. They come up with an excuse, something with the church and having faith and shortcomings or something. Whatever. Like, that's a dumb decision. But then they followed up with three smart decisions. So you're not following stupid characters. That was a bit of a breath of fresh air. Now, was it scary? My wife scared the shit out of her. I mean, it was still a formulaic horror movie, so not really. Like, that's not really going to scare me anymore. But I liked it. I enjoyed it. So that's my review, dude. Check out Annabelle.
All right. So the movie I saw was This Is Where I Leave You. The two big name characters out of this were Tina Fey and Jason Bateman. Basically, I would categorize this as a dramedy. Like, it's a comedy set around a dramatic event. Basically, the father of the main characters dies, and so the other character or main actress in this is Jane Fonda. She plays the mother, the matriarch of the family, and so the main character's final last wish is that they have a Jewish Shiva for him after he dies. So the family has to sit for a week and basically discuss and basically bond together. I really liked the character development in this movie. And there were some really, really funny parts where they go to Jewish temple and they couple of the characters. Like, Jason Bateman's wearing his father's jacket because he didn't bring any formal clothes with him when he showed up to the funeral, and like is reaching in his pocket, like pulls out a joint and like tells, like shows his brother, and like they go off into the or whatever the Jewish equivalent of the rectory is where they teach Sunday school, and they get stoned in the rectory, like set off the fire alarms, like get kicked out of temple.
Got kicked out of temple.
Like, there were some really funny events that happened in this movie. It wasn't a great movie, but it's definitely something if it was on Netflix I would watch. It just happened to be the only thing playing at 12 o'clock on my birthday, so...
Yeah, fair enough.
And it's got the guy from Arrested Development. Come on.
Yeah, there you go. How about you, Brent? You seen anything else lately?
Not any movies, no.
Any shows you want to talk about?
Well, I mean, I saw both previews for Arrow Season 3 today, and then I watched The Flash.
What did you think of The Flash?
So, I mean, I'm all cut up on Arrow, and Season 2 they introduced Barry Allen as The Flash. And so... it's kind of funny from the Arrow perspective because Felicity and Barry kind of have like a science bro love affair. And they help solve the murder mystery or whatever, but they kind of fall in love with each other and Felicity's like, yeah, I'll date you, whatever. And then he has to go
Is
back.
Is that how she says it? Yeah, I'll date you,
basically,
whatever.
They go to a fundraiser gala, and he's their date, and...
And then crime breaks out at the gala?
But, yeah.
Do I know superheroes or what?
And then, after they have their moment, he has to go back to Central City to go back to work, and then that's when he gets struck by lightning and is in a coma, and she's like, well, the only guy who's wanted to date me and... You know, years gets put in a coma, so that sucks.
Hold on. Say that one more time.
Felicity was just kind of upset that the first guy who wanted to date her in months gets struck by lightning and is put in a coma.
That's traumatic.
It is traumatic.
How did she take it?
She was pretty heartbroken. And Slade Wilson's kind of coming after Team Arrow and taking everything away from Oliver. So, it's pretty unnerving. It's interesting, though, that not only have they created a spinoff from Arrow with the success of it and going into The Flash, but they are sort of building toward the Justice League CW thing.
Yeah, which is weird because they're not connecting it to the movies at all.
No, it'll be like B-team.
What
Justice
the
bad choice.
What the fuck, DC? Come on.
I know. It's not smart.
But they have their own thing. Like, you know, Arrow is hugely popular. And
yeah, but that's why you take the actor from Arrow and you put him in the movie. I mean, it's as simple as that.
There's everyone else is going to be in that movie. I'm scared of that movie because every day they announce someone else is going to be in that movie.
I'm not just talking about Batman versus Superman. You just work them into the world. See, this is where Marvel gets it right, though.
Yeah.
Because Marvel has found a way to incorporate everything into everything.
Five guys on a bus.
That's Disney, though. You know, like, that's the masterwork of Disney.
That was pre-Disney. That was pre-Disney. Come on.
But their continuity in being able to do it. So, I mean, you look at...
Once
they have
the
put
show,
a master
sure,
plan but, in that is phenomenal.
I mean, that's the phase one, phase two, phase three, dude.
Yeah. But
phase
Warner
one,
Brothers...
Phase
I mean,
one mostly had nothing to do with Disney. I mean, Disney caught on towards the end of
but
phase
it was
one.
Very...
Or Disney
kind
bought
of
them
thrown together,
it.
You know, because the early Iron Man movies, I'm not a big fan of.
Oh,
Edward Norton.
I could not disagree with you more. The
Iron
first
Man
one is
so
good.
Terrible. No,
the
first one
is
not
fun.
Good. You know why everyone thinks the first one is good? Is because that movie came out in 2007 when the writer's strike happened.
I've rewatched it.
And that was the
it.
Only
it's
movie
good.
That came out that year that was... Not utter garbage.
I disagree with you. I've rewatched it. It's still good. Like, Robert Downey Jr. is so charming in that movie. Like, that's what makes that movie. It's good. It doesn't matter why. It's just, it's good. And they have the Avengers, like, drop-in thing right away. They have Nick Fury at the end. It's hilarious that they like, let me put it this way. They took the superhero genre where you know you're always supposed to have a secret identity, and they just immediately shred that at the end of the first one.
Yeah.
That's a pretty ballsy move for like, starting your universe, just being like, we're going to break that rule right now.
But Tony Stark is more of a public figure, you know? He's...
But... Even in the comic, the people don't know he's Iron Man. Still in the comic, they don't know he's Iron Man. Just the other superheroes.
Which is quite a lot of people, you know? I mean, look how many people are in New York City.
But that's
the
thing.
Especially when you get in the Iron or the Avengers comics, there's a lot of people.
But name me another superhero movie before Iron Man where... Like, everybody... Where he didn't have a secret identity because everybody knew who he was.
Yeah, there really wasn't. I mean, it totally broke that trope. But going on from Iron Man 1, Iron Man 2, that movie's terrible.
I liked it. I thought it was fun.
The movie's bad.
I thought it was fun. We'll disagree.
It was fun.
Whiplash is such a bad villain.
I don't disagree with that. But then Sam Rockwell just being a fucking...
Sam Rockwell was totally great in that movie.
Yeah.
I guess I don't like Jon Favreau's directing style. And I don't... I was always really bugged that he put himself in his movies in scenes where basically he could check out Scarlett Johansson. He's like, all right, pitch this. Limo driver, I look into the rear view, check out her boobs... And then Tony rolls the window up. Awesome. I'm totally going to be in this, and then I'm going to pay myself after I direct this movie. You know?
I'm okay with it.
That's why the best, the third one's the best, is because Jon Favreau gets put in a fucking coma at the beginning of the movie, and he's out for, like, the whole movie.
You're such an asshole.
I just wish he died, but you know he doesn't die.
Jesus,
like,
dude.
Like, he just can't die. It's unfortunate. But he was out of a coma, like, first 10 minutes, so it made me happy.
I can't even remember why we got on this track. Let's back up here. What were we talking about?
So
we were
talking about
Arrow.
Yeah.
And Belief. Okay, so what... You didn't actually get into it. So what do you think of The Flash, like, the actual pilot?
So, there's... I really liked Captain Cold. I liked how they're going with the metahuman thing. Flash's supporting team is not very interesting.
I would agree with
that. I would probably rate them same par as the B team in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I did like that the origin story is like right out of the comic.
Yeah.
Where they have the parent and he sees the red and yellow flashes everywhere.
Towards the end with the big reveal, you see that he's probably going to get his main power of time travel.
Yeah.
And I'm scared. You know, I think they're going to go wacky places with time travel. And
oh, I hope.
I don't know that it's going to be good.
It could go horribly wrong, but I'm like, with the Flash show, I want you to swing for the fences because you already have something against the show. What I mean is society already has something against the Flash, which is they believe that he just runs fast. And I was already telling my kids, because actually the kids really liked it. Like, they enjoyed the pilot, which I can't say for Gotham, but they really dug the Flash pilot. And I was like, well, you know, he can do more than run fast. And they were, like, fascinated by that because they thought that's all he could do. I'm like, they can vibrate, like, really heavy and go through walls. He can travel through time. Like, that's some kind of cool things. He can run on water. That's one better than Jesus. He could just walk on water. Flash can run on water.
So when he's fighting Captain Cold, Captain Cold makes, like, a tornado. He's like, I'm going to make a big tornado. And he's like, I one up you. I'll run the opposite direction really fast.
He doesn't actually say this.
Well, he's like, what do I do? I got it. I'll run around him.
He did not say, what do I do? And then put his hands in a heroic position on his hips, Brent. That is not what happened.
But he did ask the team what to do. And then he came up with the epiphany.
No, I thought he said he was going to try and counteract it. And they told him, no, like, we don't know the limits of your power. You could kill yourself.
Well, the girl science bro, she's like, no, you body
girl
can't.
Science bro.
Are we talking like Debbie Gibson in a submarine?
No. Scientist? Not as magical as that.
I do like the supporting cast of The Flash. I like his cop stepdad.
Yeah. That was another thing that I did like on the show is that he doesn't believe anything with him. And then right away he finds out he's The Flash and that, like, he's not full of shit on a bunch of stuff. And I was like, that's kind of cool. Usually on a show, they would go 3 or 4 seasons to do that. That's what I kind of liked is they broke some conventions with superheroes in that show. And DC really needs to do that more. Like, Marvel's been pretty good about breaking conventions with this stuff. DC needs to follow suit and do it a little bit.
That's pretty classic Guggenheim because they did that with Arrow. I mean, right away, he's like, yeah, only no one can know my identity, except for everyone I know will know my identity by right away. So they just keep pulling in more people. Yeah. I really like the little nod to the Arrow fans where Barry runs to Starling City and he's like, ah, I got my powers. I'm out of a coma. And he's like, cool. Then he runs away and then Arrow flies away. He's like, cool. And then when you see, like...
They did not say that.
No, they did actually both say cool and using their powers. And then when you see the premiere of Arrow, Barry Allen calls him out in a throwaway scene. And he's like, I need to talk to you. And then presumably what happens in The Flash where he runs to Starling City, they have their talk again, and then he runs back to Central City.
So that's what yeah, I had no idea what the thing with him meeting with Green Arrow was, but... Because I only watched the first 2 episodes of Green Arrow, and I was like, this is garbage. But a lot of people told me you got to stick with it.
Yeah, it gets like, so much better.
I've heard, like, you have to kind of suffer through the first half of the first season. Is that about accurate?
There's a CW-style love triangle with Tommy Merlin, the best friend, who's also a billionaire playboy.
Yep.
And then there's Laurel.
Didn't dig it.
Who's like... Laurel's his ex, Oliver's ex-girlfriend, and when he went out on the boat to the island,
yeah,
he, like,
I
left
know.
With his sister.
Yeah.
And but Tommy dies, and so that's out of it.
So
and
we don't have to worry about that bullshit CW
no,
shit
it's,
anymore?
It goes away, you know. I think they really find their legs in season 2. But the nice thing about season 2 is they introduce Slade Wilson, so you know, they kind of show the bonding of them as brothers on the island in season one. And then season two, Destro comes and he's like, I will take everything that you've ever loved from you. So he, like, you know, kills a bunch of people. He makes an army of mutant super freaks. Like,
yeah, you're talking me into this, actually, because that, like, doesn't seem
when
like
you, especially when you, like, bring in Deathstroke, that's great.
Deathstroke isn't enough for me because I've seen CW introduce characters into Smallville and not been impressed. But you saying an army of super freaks and like that.
Yeah, they all have
that tells me that it's starting to get more comic bookish, and that's what I could get into. Because it felt like those first couple episodes I watched of Green Arrow, or excuse me, Arrow, because they're too cool to call it Green Arrow. And that was what I felt about the first two episodes, was everything was trying to show how cool our main character was. Like, oh, he's this rich guy and he's handsome and he's got everything. But then he's on an island and he loses everything. But he learns how to shoot with a bow. And now he's back and he rejects everything. But he's super cool, guys. Like, look at him with his emo pose and, like, longing
for
the
dark
girl,
and broody.
But there's only the mission now. Like, I was just like, oh, come on. But the fact that it sounds like they break out of that, I'm a big fan of that. So
yeah.
I'm actually going to catch up at some point.
And they
point.
Bring in, like, you know, they do split off the team. So they bring in Black Canary, and she's, you know, hot blonde chick in leather who beats people with a pipe.
Well, it is CW.
And then... yeah.
Oh, Canary is hot as hell.
Oh, Canary yeah. is hot as hell.
I mean, just in the comic, they emphasize her legs always. It's part of her costume, fishnet stockings. Same as Zatanna. They're kind of sexist now that I think about it.
In season three, they're supposed to be going with Ra's al Ghul, so that'll
ooh,
be interesting.
I like that.
They've actually already kind of introduced him in the second season. You haven't seen him yet, but he's like an entity who's the League of Assassins are out there who trained Black Canary, and like his daughter comes, Talia al Ghul comes, and she's like lesbian lovers with Black Canary. And
you know, I'd like to see, like, so somebody close to Arrow gets a phone, like calls him on the phone, and they're like, oh my god, Ra's al Ghul's after me. He's like, here's what you need to do. You need to hide under the bed.
I got a particular like set of skills.
Yeah, do a reverse Taken just to give a nod to Liam Neeson.
I actually read this interesting thing, is that Liam Neeson wanted to be Ra's al Ghul. And
like in the movie or the show?
In the show. He offered to be Ra's al Ghul. They had Guggenheim had actually stepped out and asked him, hey, you know, would you do it? But you're a big actual, you know, movie star. You wouldn't want to do our little rink-eating show. And then he came back and he's like, no, I'd actually totally love to have continuity. Like, I would love to be, you know, Ra's al Ghul.
And then smoke came out of Guggenheim's ears and he's like, no.
Well, they
we
were
must
just
have
too,
everything separate.
They were just too far in filming and they couldn't, like, get him. So they didn't think he would actually accept their offer, so they just cast it out to someone else right away.
That's when you just take the hit and you still bring in Liam Neeson, because that's going to get ratings.
Yeah.
And that's
right.
going to make, like, up for the budget.
And it's good for, it would be good for Warner Brothers to have that sort of, you know, powerful actor as someone who's your big bad guy for
but
the
maybe
season.
CW wasn't for it. Like, what's good for Warner's isn't good for CW. Oh, wait, they're the same company. Get your shit together, DC. Warner Brothers, Time, AOL, whatever the fuck you are. Now, get it together. Well, should we end this? I think we're running a little long in the tooth here.
Yeah, I think we should kill this.
All right, so take it easy.
And now it's time to talk over the extra.
Is that all you gotta say? Is how we gonna talk over it?
Pretty much. That's all I wanna go.
Alright, yeah.
Have a good night.